It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A 15-year-old appears to have acted alone when she killed two people and injured six at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison in December before taking her own life.
But the perpetrator belonged to an online community, one that glorifies and encourages random violence. Extremist researchers have found evidence that a 17-year-old student in Nashville, Tennessee, cheered her on before her rampage.
Last week, that student went on his own rampage at his school in Nashville, where he killed a 16-year-old student before taking his own life. Phoebe Petrovic is an investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch and a fellow with ProPublica. She's reporting on the extremist networks where both students were apparently active. Phoebe, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Phoebe, in your new piece on this, you looked at the online forums where many extremists, often young people, apparently gather to share information and encourage each other to take violent action. Can you talk about the sort of things you saw in examples of these forums?
Yeah, so the network that I'm looking at, that researchers have been looking at, it is cross-platform. So you see this on X, you see this on gaming platforms, and at social media platforms, chatting platforms. So it's in a mixture of open and closed networks. And what you see is a subculture that glorifies violence, that praises past attackers, that ranks them sort of like a video game scoring on how effective they had been based on a number of factors. And they also traffic in really awful, racist, anti-Semitic, white supremacist, transphobic, you name it, hateful memes and jargon and jokes. And so it's a mix of, often as the internet is, jokes and sort of laughing about, ha ha ha, wouldn't this be funny? And glorifying this stuff and encouraging people to carry out attacks of their own.
I think when we hear about the latest school shooting, wherever it might be, a picture might form in our head of an isolated student doing this, motivated by personal factors. It seems fairly common, apparently, in these shootings for people to be in these communities where they're making these contacts, getting this kind of encouragement.
Yeah, so there are historians of white power, white supremacist violence, and other extremist violence who say that there's no such thing as a lone wolf. So even if someone acts alone, that they're typically not emerging out of a contextless space. Like, we all exist sort of in the same milieu. And so these young people, even if they plotted their attacks alone, they are immersed in an internet culture that really says this is good. It's sort of an upside down world, right? Where the offline world, we all hold to the same norms that, you know, we hope are anti-violence, pro-social, and those are sort of flipped on their head in this online world where people are encouraged to do this. And so this happened in Nashville, this happened in Madison, this has happened before, where the online writings, the online presence that these young people have make references to other past attackers, and they will copy some of what they did previously in either their writings or what they write on their gear before their rampage. They call each other saints. They really call back to this sort of grim history and legacy. And ultimately, what many of these people are searching for is to be glorified themselves in the same way, which, you know, obviously raises complications when you're reporting on this.
What do we know about the interactions that the Madison attack perpetrator last month had in these variety of forums? What has been attached to her? What do we know about that?
So I can tell you just sort of the top line findings right now, and we're continuing to report on this. But the Madison shooter was really immersed in this culture and shared racist and genocidal, anti-Semitic phrases and ideas. This is something that the Nashville shooter actually praised her for, saying that, you know, she was really quote unquote based for having and expressing these views. And we know that the Madison shooter, according to an online friend, quote unquote, had school shooter leanings and talked about mass shootings or school shootings all the time. She posted about that. Her Tumblr page was just full of posts and images and videos of past mass shooters. So grim stuff for a 15-year-old to be engaging in.
Given all the forums you mentioned. This could be on X, formerly Twitter. It could be on a Discord channel or a Steam game channel or a channel for a particular game, or the list goes on and on and on. How big of a challenge is it well, for someone to report on like you, and I imagine for law enforcement to find a red flag among all that mass of online data?
Yeah, this is a huge problem right now, and obviously a topic of sort of debate in terms of best practices among researchers and practitioners in law enforcement. It's hard to sort out the signal from the noise. One of the Madison shooter's online friends posted after her attack, you know, I knew she had school shooter leaning. She talked about it all the time, but most people are kidding or LARPing. And she apparently was serious, which points to the difficulty of sort of assessing. My colleagues at ProPublica have been looking into how Tennessee is handling this, and they have taken a really hard line, sometimes arresting children and sending them to juvenile court even before they have really assessed whether or not a threat is credible or not. So this is a really open topic of investigation. And it's difficult for researchers and reporters like me who are not law enforcement, because some of these more closed forums or closed chats are frankly filled with CSAM, which is child sexual abuse materials. That's another thing that this group finds funny. And that's totally illegal for lay people who are not law enforcement to access or look at, which basically closes off those forums from investigation from people who are not law enforcement.
We are talking about extremist violence and how it can be encouraged or spread. Phoebe Petrovic is with us, investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch, fellow at ProPublica. Switching gears a little bit, you're giving an online talk tonight, Phoebe, about the importance of reporting on extremism in America. You've been focusing on particularly threatening forms of Christian nationalism. What are we seeing when it comes to the growth or regrowth of these groups in prominence?
Yeah, so my reporting over the last year was looking at how the sort of the modern day headlines that we were seeing really had these roots going back to the 50s, 60s, 70s that were quite explicit in wanting a theocracy, privileging a certain form of Christianity, and really reifying hierarchies between different sorts of people. So white people over everyone else, men over women, straight people over gay people, things like that. And so, you know, when you see what is happening right now at the federal level or in state politics, it all sort of has a deeper root that we hope to talk about tonight, that my past reporting has looked on. But basically, my takeaway is that everything is connected and history matters.
How much do we see a bleed over, I guess, from ideological extremism, right? These are people advocating for what might be seen as extreme views versus using violence or the threat of violence to promote those ideologically extreme views.
Yeah, it really varies. One of the researchers I spoke to said that it's kind of like putting shots on goal, which is to say that as talking about violence and glorifying violence as much as possible will have a stochastic effect and encourage people to take action. And the more people you get that message out to, the greater the chance is that you'll have a person actually take action. So the U.S. State Department recently designated one of these online networks, Telegram, a terrorist organization because of their offline and online crimes. And so there have been indictments, there have been life sentences, there have been really extreme or significant criminal punishment for actions that people took in the real world based on this rhetoric, based on this belief. And what we know is that immersing yourself in this culture, exposure to it, can have a radicalizing effect.
Does reporting on potentially violent organizations yourself raise concerns about your own safety and, for that matter, that of the researchers you've been talking to?
Yeah, absolutely. So the researchers that I have been speaking with for for this work on online extremist communities in particular, they're not public-facing researchers. So they publish under pseudonyms, and they are really serious about their personal privacy because they are dealing with dangerous threat actors who think that it is funny to share public or private information about them publicly, to send police to their homes. So we vetted their credentials with four experts in the field. But, you know, we agreed not to publish their names. And if they're concerned, you know, I'm concerned. So there's obviously a level of care that one needs to undertake when doing this work. It's always something I'm thinking about. One thing I'm also thinking about is that we know from research that that women, that people of color, that LGBTQ people, anyone of a marginalized identity is more likely to face online and offline harassment because of their identities. That is, frankly, it's a higher risk than if I was a white dude doing this work. And so it's something that I constantly am thinking about.
In our last minute or so, Phoebe, what are a couple of the big questions that are going to be driving your reporting over the next year?
I'm really interested in this moment of how the Madison shooter got radicalized. We know that she was in some of these forums really young, at 13, seeing really horrific, traumatizing material. And so how she got radicalized and what that can tell us about how communities can respond, how parents can respond, how law enforcement can respond, how frontline people like teachers and community leaders, youth group leaders, social workers, how everyone can sort of respond to support children from hurting themselves and from hurting others. So that's a big topic of my focus. And I'm also really interested in how LGBTQ people are responding and surviving in this moment when the administration has taken a direct attack on them. So if you have tips on that, please send them my way.
Phoebe, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Phoebe Petrovic, investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch, a fellow with ProPublica. She's reporting on online extremist networks that encourage acts of violence, including last month's school shooting in Madison. You can find her reporting on that at ProPublica, and we'll have that up online at WPR.org as well.
Still ahead on Wisconsin Today, men report being angry more often than women in recent research, and that's causing problems in daily lives. Wisconsin's own anger professor shares his research and some advice.
There's plenty to be angry about, and I don't think anyone should shame the emotion itself. I think we just have to think about how we are handling it, how we're expressing it.
That's next on WPR News.